welcome to the Revenue Hub podcast. I'm Trevor Grant. Through these podcasts, we aim to discuss topics relevant to professionals within the hotel, travel and leisure sectors. Whether you're in a revenue management function, reservations, front office operations, digital marketing or sales, we hope the topics discussed will be of interest and either answer some questions or maybe prompt some more.
Hello and welcome to another Revenue Hub podcast. We're continuing our episodes of how to choose the perfect PMS. We're joined again by our expert who's joined us on the previous five episodes, Christoph Hutter. Christoph, welcome.
Hello, Trevor. Nice to be back.
Yeah, good to have you with us. And today we are going to be wrapping up our final episode on this series. So that will be six episodes in total. This one we are going to focus on implementation. We've got Christoph with us. I'm sure you've gone through a few of these in your time, Christoph, and seen from firsthand experience and also guiding and advising others. Where do we start? We're talking implementation. What's the one of the first things we should be considering as we move into this implementation phase?
So the first thing, and that's something that I have seen many vendors actually not pushing to the area of importance where it should be sufficiently, is the what is called the shell building.
So shell building.
Yeah.
Okay. Right.
So imagine the PMS representing the virtual hotel. Mm-hmm. So you have your rooms and you have your room types, your room numbers built into it. You have your market segments and all your rates and all the guest profiles and company profiles and all these things that are in there. Well, that virtual hotel needs to be built in the first place, just like the actual object needs to be built. The actual building needs to be built. So that's what we want to start with. Mm-hmm. What it means concretely is we're telling the property management system we then chose after going through all the considerations, signing the contract. Now we're going to tell the system, this is my hotel. We have this many rooms, those many market segments, and things like that.
Yep.
So it's the groundworks of the configuration.
Well, that makes sense because you've already put that time and energy in your current system, getting it working as you need it to. So it seems daft not to be able to then start part of that configuration process from what you already know.
Yeah, so it's not the configuration itself. It is the one step before the configuration where we need to sit down, look at what we have today with our current system and think about where do we want to go from here with the new system, because the new system will hopefully have functionalities that we didn't have before. Certainly one of the reasons why we chose the new system. So how do we want to use all that? How we can think about that is, let's say our hotel today has 16 different room types, mm-hmm. Which is a lot, and maybe it doesn't make too much sense. So maybe we want to have a look at our room types and think, well, can we optimize that somehow? Do we really need 16 or could we do with 4? And if we could do with 4, then maybe we want to change that. Mm-hmm. So that means we want to have a look at all our rooms and look at their size and their view and their amenities and everything that makes out the room type. Mm-hmm. And then kind of regroup the room types into new categories.
Okay. Yeah.
And then when thinking about the implementation and later the configuration in the new PMS, then we kind of have an idea of where do we want to go with our room types in the future. Another thing to consider is our market segmentation. Mm-hmm. And we spoke about that in previous podcasts, how important the market segmentation is for revenue management, how important it is for marketing. So we want to think very carefully, how do we want to go ahead moving forward with our market segments? And this is one of the areas where I typically identify a lot of potential for improvement at most hotels in optimizing their segmentation. I'm not just talking about try to move rooms from one segment to another segment in order to improve revenue. I'm talking about the underlying architecture of the segmentation. So what segments do we actually have? So we have hotels mm-hmm. that work with a retail segment, for example. But does the retail segment really make sense, or is it just too generic? Would it make more sense for my specific hotel to have a segment where I differentiate between discounted and undiscounted bookings for my direct channels versus the same discounted and undiscounted segment for my online travel agency bookings? So we can all think about that. What segments do we actually need, and how should that be composed? A market mm-hmm. segment basically should be a bucket, a group of guests and bookings that come in that all show a similar booking behavior. That's what we want to see as a market segment. And so we need to think about, well, does this make sense that we have today, and how can we optimize that moving forward in order to then extract more information, better data out of the system moving forward. And there it will depend on how we will work with the system and what the system can actually do. Some systems that provide us with the possibility to have segments and subsegments. So mm-hmm. we could have, for example, if we have an OTA segment, we could have a subsegment commissionable rates, merchant rates, and opaque rates as three different subsegments in order to better understand rate evolution over time. So we want to give that some consideration. The same goes for our source of business. Where is the booking actually coming from? How do I want to optimize that moving forward? If I have one source of business as the GDS, is that sufficient? Or would I want to know if it's coming from Amadeus or Galileo or wherever? Do I want to split that out?
Is there any value in that? Yeah,
exactly. And maybe there is no value in it today, but 5 years from now, there will be. So that's a really, really critical process, because I'm going to set the foundation of my work for the entire time I'm going to work with that system.
So in the same way that when we started back with our second episode about considerations about what do I want a PMS to do for me as a business, you're now almost pressing pause for a moment and just saying, right, now consider how you currently operate and what are some of the changes, because now is an opportune time to make those changes and to set it up how you want to operate going forward.
Yes. So we really can see the shell building as building the foundation of our property management system, building the foundation of our virtual hotel.
Mm-hmm. In the new way that we want it to look, new PMS, new way of operating.
Exactly. Yes.
No, that makes perfect sense. And I guess you're right, because if you were just to move everything across in exactly the same way, and then at some point in time think, oh, okay, we want to revisit our room types and go from 16 down to, even if it's not to 4, but to 8, the amount of work that would be needed at that particular time, even if it's not days and weeks, but it will be longer than making that decision now and structuring it now and then setting up the system appropriately from the very outset.
Yes, and depending on the system, these transitions and changes in the future can be more or less easy. In some cases, there may be the vendor charging you a fee for changing room types, for example, which honestly, no vendor should do that. And that should be one of the things we think about when in the whole vetting process and evaluation yeah. process. So when we think about how we want to set up our room types, if we don't do it right now, if we need to change our room type setup in the future, well, depending on the system, that may mean that I cannot assign the individual room that is assigned to the room type to any reservation in the future, which means that I need to go in every reservation where this room is assigned to, remove that so that it's not locked in anywhere in the database. But then I cannot have anyone staying in that reservation currently either. So I need to wait until they're checked out. Maybe I need to wait for an additional day so they don't even feature in my checked out list. And then if I have a 100 room hotel and I want to change all my room types, well, then I need to go through that process 100 times. And that can take a really long time. And in the meantime, I have two different room types. So that is something I probably can only do in low season. But even then, it's something that can, and it depends on the system. For some systems, it doesn't matter. It can create some headaches. So now is the time that we want to get it right. Also, and especially when looking about market segmentation, sorts of business and rate plans and these things, where I really track some very specific information, if I change my segmentation in the future and then I look back into the past, well, it doesn't match anymore. So my historic conclusions that I will draw over time, at some point there will be a disconnect. And, you know, this is going to happen. I'm going to have switches in segmentation because the world doesn't stand still. It evolves. So, you know, 20 years ago, there was no OTA segment. Well, today, OTAs dominate the online travel, obviously. So we need to adapt our distribution, and ultimately we need to adapt our segmentation to that.
That makes sense. So that phase, as you say, that's called the shell building phase, the structuring how you want it to operate going forward. And as you said, it's not an area that the vendors tend to put a lot of focus on. But then I guess in fairness, this would be the responsibility of the hotel going forward, because they're the ones that should be defining how they want the system to be configured and set up to match how they want to be running their hotel going forward.
You're absolutely right that this is the responsibility of the hotel to sit down and reflect on how the system should be set up. The problem typically is that at that point in time, unless you have some experienced people on site who have worked with that system extensively already in the past and know the ins and outs of the system already, at that point in time, you have not received training yet for the new system. So you have talked to your sales rep. The sales rep may have explained the one or the other thing. You probably and hopefully watched a couple of demos of the system, so you have a basic understanding. But now it's time to configure or to get ready for configuration. You have not received any training, so you don't even know what the system can do. And at that point, and that's why I separate shell building from configuration, because in many cases, and especially with independent hotels, the vendor kind of merges these two parts into one. So it's time for the configuration. Now I tell you how the system can be configured. So go ahead and configure it. But at that point in time, you probably don't have the time to sit at your desk and reflect for 3 days on what is the best segmentation. So you just hammer it out. And you're hammering it out in what way? Well, in the exact same way as you have it set up today.
Because that's the easiest way.
Exactly, yeah. Which means that you're going to carry over whatever didn't work now in the future, and you're going to have the same issues again moving forward. While you can just say, no, this is a clear cut. I'm going to do it differently from now on.
So the system may be faster and better, but it's still doing how you wanted it to work before. And there may be an element where it's operationally, or what you're doing as a hotel also needs to change a bit as well.
Exactly. And a lot of the things we talked about in terms of automation and things like that also will tie directly into that. If you want to set up your payments automatically for a certain kind of booking, well, you need to have an architecture in place that allows you to do that automatically. And yeah. If your system doesn't allow automatic billing, then maybe it allows scheduled reporting so that you can at least report on that. But that means that you need to somehow be able to track the billing information in a reporting form, which probably could be on the rate plan level. But that means your rate plans need to reflect that information. So we need to, in our shell building phase now, think about all these operational details of the future, and then see how do we translate that into the configuration, and then come up with how we need to configure the system.
Makes perfect sense. As to a lot of what you've said in all the previous episodes, but you're right, and I think I think what I take from not only just this first few moments, but of the other episodes, a lot of what you tend to advise is trying to take the time as early as you can to think through what you want this to be able to do for you, so that you as a hotel can be more productive, more efficient, more effective, help to generate more revenue, help to increase profitability. And it's these moments in time where there's these in-between stages, at that stage where maybe you're thinking, I need to make a change. Why do I want to make a change? What have I got to consider? And this time where it's okay, I'm now going to be ready. I've got a a window of opportunity until the next system gets implemented. So in this downtime, in this calm time, how do I ensure I don't just repeat the way we've done things before? How do I actually use this as a clean slate to set up how I see my hotel working for the next 5-6 years, maybe, for instance?
Exactly. Yeah. And this is why I said, you know, it is crucial that the hotel comes up with how that all should work and should be set up. But the hotel will absolutely need the support of the vendor in order to understand the system sufficiently. So there needs to be an initial training phase where I have somebody ideally coming on site and telling the key people, the general manager and the revenue manager and the reservations manager and front office manager and housekeeping manager and everyone really who is involved on a higher level in the hotel operations. And that can be the tech-savvy and motivated reservations agent just as well. You know, people who really understand the operation on all levels come together with a trainer from the vendor to come up with how do we need to set up the system in kind of the architecture of all that.
No, that makes sense. It's almost like the building a house. You first get your, using the word architecture, you get your architect, you sit down with an architect and they draw out what are the things you want the house to look like? What are some of the core features? What are the rooms? How do you want the layout to be? And that's then how it's built by the architect's drawings. So in a way, this is a similar sort of process. You're laying out the architecture of how you want this PMS, as we've said, because it's like the beating heart at the center, at the center of the hotel and drives all the other functions. Getting this bit right has a knock-on impact positively or negatively to how things will run going forward. Yeah, no, I can see that. Okay. So is there anything else in that shell building phase? Or you spoke about the room, making sure with your room types, the features, the market segmentation, the sub-segments, looking at the sources of business, looking at your rate plans. So they would seem like the core elements that you need to ask and consider before you get into a configuration phase.
Yes. And one thing I advise at this point also is don't just think about what the market segments should be. In the PMS, oftentimes we work with certain codes. So while we may have a market segment that's called discount, we may use a code for that. So also think about the coding and how you want to structure that whole coding so that there are certain similarities and certain standards and certain agreements on how to do that. And that is especially important in terms of rate plans, because you probably are going to have a lot of rate plans moving forward. And you're going to add rate plans constantly. You get a new account, you probably get a new rate plan for that. And so having a naming structure in place that allows you to understand what is that rate by just looking at the code for that rate plan, the rate code, that will make a lot of things, especially then also looking at reporting and analytics down the road, will make it a lot easier. And so that is also a very important part of that entire shell building process.
No, that sounds very sensible. So we've sat down with our architect and our team, and we've laid out the shell of what our building's going to look like and the footprint and the blueprints. So we now want to get into the configuration phase. Is that I know I went there a bit too early and didn't get there with the shell building, but the configuration is now the next stage of this.
Yes. So during the configuration phase, we oftentimes have somebody from the vendor come on site to help the hotel or help remotely and guide the hotel team through the actual configuration of the hotel. So this is now where, once I know what room types do I want to have and how the codes for the room types should all be set up, now I go and I virtually build all my rooms. So I build my room 100, I build my room 101, 102, and so on. And I tell them not just the room number, I say what floor is that room on, what features are you going to have in that room, is it close to the lift, far from the lift, does it have a view or not. So all these different elements I'm going to assign now, which means that before I can actually start building room, I need to build all these room features in my configuration. So it's an entire process of one thing that then allows you to configure the next thing and then the next thing, because once you have built your room features and then you build your rooms with the room features, you can build your room categories moving through that that entire process. And you know, that goes the same for market segments and subsegments and rate plans that then have the subsegments and segments assigned to them and all these kind of things. That is what I then do. And once I completed the configuration phase, now I have a PMS that is ready to go.
Mm-hmm. And is there, I mean, we spoke in, I think it was episode 3, where we were looking at the cloud versus on-site or sometimes even a hybrid solution. Are there any differences in the configuration element that you would have to consider if you were going down an on-site route that you wouldn't need to consider necessarily if it was in the cloud? Or is it all pretty much you're just interfacing with the solution? One just happens to be sitting there in the hotel and the other one happens to just be via an internet connection.
Well, the actual tasks of how to configure this or that is going to be very similar because whether the system is on site or in the cloud, the functionality is going to be pretty much the same if it's not identical. So those steps would be very similar. Where it does change potentially a little bit is in terms of connectivity to third-party systems.
Okay.
If it's in the cloud, then all the third-party systems need to connect to basically your part of the cloud. While if you have the whole thing hosted on site, you need the infrastructure on site to make those connections possible. So you may have an interface server that sits next to the PMS server that allows you to connect to things like your central reservation system and your revenue management system and all these other interfaces. Mm-hmm. So yes, that is a consideration as well.
Talking about interfaces, because obviously you've got to set up your PMS, but as you say, you've hopefully got some initial training, you've got some webinars. If, as we've mentioned in previous ones, if it's fairly intuitive, easy to use, kind of guides you through it, then in theory, I always laugh in theory, the PMS, if you've built your shell properly, and the PMS selection is based on the criteria that we've advised people they should be considering, and the interface is fairly intuitive, then the setting up of the PMS should be reasonably, it will take time, but should be reasonably straightforward. Would that be fair?
Yeah, I think I could agree to that. Reasonable in the sense of if there was adequate training or the system is intuitive enough, then yes, it should be reasonable enough to do the actual keystrokes in the configuration. Where it does get a little tricky is, once again, looking at interfaces, and that's where hotels oftentimes forget that if they switch the PMS, it's not just the PMS they switch. They switch the connection to every one of those interface systems as well.
When you mentioned about interfaces, to me, that seems like the big issue, because I remember you spent quite a bit of time stressing, and I could see why after you'd outlined it, when we were looking at the consideration phase and the multitude of interfaces that you may have, or even if you don't have, you might want to have in the new system. So to me, that seems like the most complex piece. That would be the weak link in the chain for me, because depending on how they interface, it could be very smooth or it could be a complete nightmare.
Exactly. And thinking about, you know, CRS, for example, every code that you have in your current PMS, every market segment or rate plan that is built in your current system and also sits in the CRS, once you switch to a new PMS, if your coding changes, you need to remap all that. So you need to go through your entire CRS configuration. The same would apply to your revenue management system. You need to reconfigure the revenue management system. Now, because the revenue management system learns from historic data and booking patterns, changing any of these things like segmentation or rate plans can have an impact on what the forecast of the revenue management system is going to be moving forward. So you will need to talk to your RMS vendor and receive guidance through that process. And there's probably going to be a project assigned to that. And you hopefully have a project manager or an account manager guiding you through that. But keep in mind that a switch of an interface is very likely also going to result in costs for that new interface.
So picking up on something that you said in the shell building element, where you said you could look at your rate plans and it might be sensible to think about the naming of that rate plan. It might be an opportune time to change the name of that rate plan so it's more obvious when you look at the reports. Would something as simple as just changing the name, so the rate plan doesn't change, but by changing the name, would that have an impact within your RMS system? I mean, I guess you've got to change it for it to correlate, yes?
So basically how the two systems will work with each other is you will have a rate plan and a code assigned to that rate plan in the one system and also in the other system. And you will have a mapping table where the interface translates between the two systems and says, this code is called like that in the one system, like that in the other system. And ideally they are already the same, so it's easier to understand when looking through all the coding. But if that is not the case, then you can map those things, but they need to be mapped and configured at some point in time. Otherwise, at some point, the system won't find any of these things anymore. And
you're looking for the old name because that's what that report pulled from, and that name no longer exists.
Exactly. And in the revenue management system, that may lead to inaccurate forecasting. In the central reservation system, that may lead to reservations not interfacing, not coming through anymore, or duplicate reservations to be created. Or there are a lot of hiccups that can happen in that stage.
Okay. So you've mentioned the CRS, you mentioned the RMS. What other interfaces are there that, Channel Manager?
Yes. Channel Manager is very similar to the CRS. You know, typically we will need to configure room types and rate plans in Channel Managers. So if there is any change in that, then we probably need to reconfigure that as well. Even if nothing changes in terms of coding, for example, if we maintain our old room type codes and the new room type codes, it may be necessary to reconfigure the channel manager. So we need to basically talk to every one of our interface partners and ask them. And it's something that we want to do actually already in the entire discovery phase when evaluating vendors, because it may be that my channel manager and my chosen PMS do not work together. And if that is the case, then either I need to go with a different PMS in order to keep the channel manager, or I need to switch channel manager as well. In regards to channel manager, we would probably switch our channel manager to something that works with our PMS. But in regards to a CRS, I think that may be already a completely different level of discussion.
Interesting. What else? What other interfaces are maybe other? I mean, there must be a huge number. So talk us through some of the other ones that maybe aren't quite so obvious or might seem obvious, but it's like, oh yeah, I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah, so a sales and catering module, basically that's the portion that can, in some PMSs, this is integrated into the PMS. In others, it's a module that you can buy separately. And in other cases, it's a completely standalone software that you get from a third-party vendor. It's where your groups and all your events basically sit, just like your guest rooms sit in your PMS. So your entire meetings and events section of your business. So if you have such a system, then you probably want to interface that as well. If you have an on-site restaurant with a POS, the POS will probably want to interface as well. So the restaurant can post their charges directly into your PMS, and the waiter doesn't have to bring the bill over to the front desk, who then manually has to post it, ideally before the guest checks out. So room service, you know, all these kind of things, literally every system that you have in your hotel, ideally should talk to the PMS. So that includes the minibar. If you have automated minibar systems in the room where the guest opens the fridge and the system already tracks that. Your wake-up call system, if you still have something like that and want to keep that, that will absolutely need to interface with the PMS. If your hotel still has pay TV for some reason, you know, I think pay TV is something that goes in the same category as a fax. But if your system, if your hotel still has that, well, then you will want to have that interface with the PMS so that your charges go to the proper bills in the proper folios and all.
So I guess that, so listening to what you're saying there, so from an interfacing point of view, one of the first things you need to check, and hopefully you've checked this early on, as you say, in the discovery phase, that whatever current system you have will interface with the new PMS that you are about to acquire. That's the first thing. And if it doesn't, you then have to make the call whether you go with the same PMS and continue down that process and just change the other solution, or whether you have to reevaluate whether you'd put enough time in the discovery phase. The second thing then that seems to come through is you need to be looking at, assuming you stick with your current systems and they do integrate, but there is still going to be probably, rather than saying always, I guess it depends who you use, but probably a cost of interface, particularly if you are bringing some changes that you have considered during that shell building element.
Exactly. It may not even be related to changes. It may simply be for some vendors, you may have a support contract which covers something like that. And in other cases, you don't have such a contract and they will charge you labor. Or there will be a set fee, which can, in certain cases, go into the thousands of dollars. So it's definitely something you will want to consider in the very early stages. One important thing, though, is when you mentioned, whether the new system interfaces with the existing systems, that is typically a question every hotelier is going to ask. But what they're not going to ask, and what I've seen many times, is, well, what actually interfaces? Because an interface is a translator between two systems that are not the same. So it will help to translate some functionality from one into the other system. But because the other system may work completely different, some functionality may be translated in a certain way, and with the new system would be translated into another way. So although the two systems interface, the, let's say, quality of the interface could be a different one. So certain things that work today with your interface may not work anymore, although you have an interface with the new system as well. Other things that couldn't work today with the new with the new PMS, thanks to an improved interface, can then start to work. So although you didn't change your CRS because you upgraded your PMS, now your RMS can talk to your CRS and send over some information that previously it couldn't. So it could potentially improve your overall business significantly by using this additional functionality.
Understood. I guess also there may be, and I don't know if this is, you need to let me know from your experience, but I guess sometimes if you've got an older system, the other solutions that interface, like any technology, get upgraded. However, you may be restricted on the ability to upgrade to the latest version because your current PMS may not be able to support it, for instance. It may well be then that by improving your PMS and bringing in a new PMS, you can then now take on board the upgraded version of CRS or Channel Manager, possibly. But then I guess you also have to keep in mind whether there's a cost element to that. Sometimes you maybe make a view that I might like to upgrade, but there is a cost element to upgrading and I don't really need to because my new PMS can't handle it. So we'll live with it as it is. But then when you upgrade, you automatically have to move everything up in line because the older versions don't work. And so maybe, as we've mentioned before, when we were evaluating the PMS providers, some people do upgrades are free. Other ones, maybe if you're doing an upgrade, there may be a cost associated to it. Have you seen situations like that occur? I mean, I see it in other software outside of the hotel industry, but I'm not sure if that would happen with other third party or other systems integrating into your PMS.
Yeah, so you would really need to look at the individual case and the individual contracts that were negotiated, because that depends vendor to vendor. It's different.
Sure.
You know, I have had hotels that had with certain vendors, like I said, support contracts where any of these related charges were already covered with the contract, and the hotel paid a monthly fee. It's difficult to make a global statement. You can probably have every imaginable scenario out there at some point. Yeah.
It's just a thing to consider, I guess, isn't it? That as you move up a system, it might open up some opportunities which you hadn't had the chance to take advantage of, but you just need to check the contracts as to what the impact is going to be if there is a cost associated to that, which hopefully you've done earlier on in the discovery phase.
Yes, where I see is actually a risk in that upgrading process is if you decide to upgrade one system, well, how is the interface going to respond in regards to, is the interface system still going to be working as it should, as it works today, or may that...
Yep.
generate some incompatibilities. So it may be that because of an upgrade, then certain things don't work anymore. It may also be that when you switch PMS to a new system, you will need to upgrade the third-party system to another version of that software because it cannot work with that PMS anymore.
That's what I was referring to.
So yeah. there may be all sorts of incompatibilities, even if you have, two third-party systems that both work and work really well with your PMS. But this combination of these two systems cause an incompatibility where something else then doesn't work anymore. Because of the architecture of the systems behind that. That is not very common, but I have seen that happen where a hotel had a system and was prevented from going with another system because they had one third-party system in place that used certain connections in the PMS database, which the other system needed to be able to connect to the PMS.
Right.
So it is a giant puzzle and a lot of pieces of the puzzle, and you need to make sure before signing any contract and taking any decisions that you understand all the different pieces.
Yeah, and I think as you said, back to your question a few minutes ago, not will my PMS interface or what will my PMS not will my PMS interface, it's what interfaces with my PMS.
Exactly. Yes.
And just make sure that you've got everything nailed down, that you actually understand what is connected. That makes sense. What else with regards? So we've looked at the shell building, we've looked at configuration. What next in the implementation?
Once you build your shell and you have your system configured, you have a PMS that's ready to go. This is then probably the time where you bring your general staff on board and start training them. And one of the first things that are going to be done is training reservations. because obviously your new system will not have any reservations in it. So any other training, how to check in or check out somebody, is going to be a little challenging without any reservations. So what typically happens is you then train people how to do reservations, and that has two positive effects. First of all, they will know how to train reservations. Second of all, you have potentially a large number of reservations in your old PMS that now need all to come over to the new PMS. There are two different approaches to that, and it will depend on your previous setup and your current setup and all the systems evolved. The route that most hotels in many cases are going to go down with, every reservation from the old system is going to be manually entered into the new system during that initial training phase. So basically, you teach them first how to enter the reservation, and then as a practice, and for the next few weeks, depending on the size of the operation, they're going to enter hundreds or thousands or tens of thousands of reservations in the new system. After entering all these old reservations a second time, they probably know how to enter reservations really, really well. So it's a very, very good exercise during which it is really important to monitor every single reservation that is entered, to make sure that they're entered correctly so that the people are learning it correctly from the get-go. It's an opportunity to not just have reservations agent enter bookings, but really anyone from the hotel operations, be it a salesperson or somebody from housekeeping or from the restaurant. Everybody can learn how to enter reservations. As I said, it can be thousands of reservations in a very short amount of time, typically a week or two that you should be done with all that. And you know, you only have so much so many hours in a day. So having some additional hands can be very helpful.
Yeah,
that's the one possibility you have. The other possibility that may exist, if you're lucky and have certain other previous settings, you may be able to import your reservations from the old system into the new system via your central reservation system.
Okay.
So if the old PMS had a two-way interface to the CRS, and your new PMS has a two-way interface to the CRS, it may be possible that because the CRS now already knows all the reservations, to simply copy them over into your PMS after everything is ready to go.
Gotcha.
It may not always be possible, but it is an option that in if you're lucky, you might be able to do that, which would cut probably a few hundred hours of labor in reservations entry. Makes more sense for larger operations than for smaller ones. For smaller ones, really, the training benefit is really a quite good one. But it is something that I advise hotels should have a look into, whether that makes sense for them or not.
That makes sense. So I guess that migration of information is a critical piece anyhow, though, isn't it? I mean, generally, for any interface, any system, the way that comes back, I guess, to what we were looking at before about how these things interface, how that information is migrated is quite key.
Yeah, absolutely. So this, again, allows a little bit to maybe change the way how we work operationally. For example, one of the big issues that most hotels are struggling with is guest profiles and having multiple profiles for one and the same guest. The system can maybe minimize that if used properly and optimally, but it's always a challenge to maintain a clean data set there. And some things that help are simply to agree on how do we enter names and how do we enter the information generally. And it may sound ridiculous, you know, a name is a name, but I myself can speak to that. I have a letter in my last name that doesn't exist in the English alphabet. Now, there is a way to transcribe that letter into English, and German native speakers will know that, but everybody else in the world will not know that. So I already have three potentially different spellings to my last name. So maybe we want to avoid using any characters that don't exist in the English alphabet, or, you know, it's just things we want to think about and then have these standards. And then bringing the reservations in means that before we can start that, and that's part of the configuration process, we will need to build our company profiles. We need to build our travel agent profiles, our wholesalers. So everyone who exists in our system, so to speak, all our accounts and everything, we need to build that. We maybe need to build profiles to our salespeople so they can then be assigned to their corporate accounts, and then we can track their sales production through the PMS. So there are a lot of things that we need to configure. And once we have entered all this information, we enter all the reservations. We will have one day that's our live day, or a cutover day, a crossover day. That's the day basically when I switch on the new system and switch off the old one. And that's, of course, what everybody is going to work towards to. That's the objective. But that's the critical point where everything has to be ready.
Are you able to run the new PMS concurrently for a period of time and then switch it over? I mean, I guess you could be working in the background getting it configured and set up with historical information. I mean, do you literally just have to have a period where you say, right, we're just literally flicking the switch and we don't do any more on the old system, everything now on the new system, and it switches instantaneously and away you go?
Well, it will depend on the setup of the hotel and their staffing levels and what the hotel can handle. You know, in smaller hotels where front desk does reservations, it may be really challenging to have this entire project. So you need to work really smartly around that to make it all happen. But in the end of the day, you go for a new system, you have to migrate the reservations, you have to enter all the information, and you have a certain time frame from that. Once the new system is switched on, all your financial transactions are going to happen in the new system. And you may still consult data from the old system, but all the financial transactions, they can only be recorded once.
Yep.
So that is basically during the night when you're switching off the old system, basically what happens is you run a last night audit on the old system.
Okay.
And as of the moment that night audit is complete, the new system is live, so to speak.
I'm with you. That becomes the starting point of the new one.
Exactly. Which means that at that point in time, you need to switch all the interfaces from the old system to the new one, so that restaurant, etc., doesn't post anything anymore in the old system. All the check-ins, all the reservations, everything needs to go into the new system, and nothing new can be entered anymore in the old system at that point.
Right.
You may still, and it is advisable to have access to the old system for a period of time. If you're hosting the PMS on site, the advantage will be that as long as the server is there and it's running, you will still have the system functionally there. And mm-hmm. So you could go back and look at whatever you want to see. If it's hosted in the cloud, then you will need to talk to your vendor and see how that can be done, whether you can extract some information, whether you can have a certain limited access, or if you have for a certain period of months or a certain period of time, have both systems run simultaneously, although you wouldn't touch the old system anymore.
No, that's more just for you to go in and look at data if you need to, historical information. Yeah,
exactly. One of the things that you need to be clear of, in most cases, you will lose historic information, so reservations, transactions from the old system when switching to the new system, unless you were to enter every historic reservation in the new system, it will just not be there. So comparing data, also in regards to reporting and so on, comparing data to last year or same time last year, may be tricky for the first year, because you just don't have the data there. There are certain systems which minimize that effect, but it's just something to be aware of.
I mean, you wouldn't, everything, you know, when you talk about revenue management, everyone's comparing back to the previous year. I mean, you have to have the last year's data at least, surely.
Well, since we talked in our last episode about reporting and the shortcomings of reporting of many PMS out there, most likely the hotel is going to have a lot of data in Excel already anyways. and can then work with that information. But yes, the hotel should be able to access the information in the PMS. And if that is not an option, we really need to think about a data extraction. So we need to think, what is the information we will need, get it out of the old system, and then process it with Excel or other software to be able to read that information in the future. There may also be legal requirements, thinking about accounting and so on, all the billing information. We need to have a record of all that. And there may be a legal requirement in your country to keep the database active or have access to the database for 7 to 10 years. That may even apply to the reservations themselves. So that's something that you would need to check with your legal team to see what you need to watch out for in this regards.
No, that makes sense. Picking up on something you said in the previous podcast, and I think it was to do with the reporting, just triggered a thought. You made a comment which was to say, yeah, it's crazy that some of them can't do the reporting because ultimately it's just a database and you just want to get the information out of it. Having, when I'm listening to you saying about, you know, you need people putting in the old information, old reservations. I've worked with databases where you've got core information in core fields, you've got attached information, whether it be documents, activities. And again, they're just sitting in certain fields. And I was able to export that. Then the new provider would have a mapping tool that would map the different fields to the old fields. They knew the old systems, so they'd already evolved a mapping process. So when you, I guess what I'm trying to clarify is when you talk about entering the previous reservations, we're not talking about manually having someone enter old data. We're talking about just extracting out the data from the old system, mapping the correct fields to the new system, and then doing an export from one and an import into the other, aren't we?
Ideally, that were the case. It will depend on what the system supports. Reservations extractions typically are offered by all vendors or most vendors. So they would allow you to take the bookings from the old system and integrate them into the new system at a cost. And that cost can sometimes be substantial.
Right.
And far, far more expensive than just re-entering everything manually. And that's why we will not have any historic bookings in the new system, because we will not enter old reservations. Because if we had 6 years of reservations in the old system, entering 6 years worth of reservations manually would probably explode any sensible schedule. But also, it would be simply cost prohibitive. Moving reservations over sometimes can work if it's a PMS that is from the same vendor, where they just have developed a more recent PMS from scratch, basing on the old system still. So you would find a lot of the old fields in their database. You would find that also in the new field. So you can just bring that over quite easily. The one issue for migrating reservations in this way is that the PMS very likely is going to have features that may be mandatory, that where data is recorded that didn't exist in the old one.
Yep. Okay. That makes sense.
So how do you then handle that? So if you copy the reservations and import them electronically into the new system, most likely for future reservations, you would need to go into every single reservation and modify it. Mm-hmm. For example, the billing address or credit card details or any comments, any of the specifics that the new system would not be able to get from the old system would need to manually be entered. And that means you have to visit every reservation anyways. Mm-hmm. And if you have to visit every reservation manually anyways, it's probably faster to just start from scratch.
Right.
And it is really most likely going to be less error prone if you do it from scratch than if you go into all reservations and just add whatever wasn't there. So it's something that can be an option, but in most cases is not the option I would suggest.
What are you doing about the, even if it's limited, the guest profile information that you may have?
In most cases, if it's not possible to import that directly, the information is going to be lost and you will start from scratch.
Wow. Okay.
It's an issue. Now there are solutions and to this problem out there. You could, for example, instead of working with the PMS for profiles, for your marketing and these kind of activities, work with a third-party tool that allows you to extract the profile information and consolidate it within their tool.
So have a CRM tool, but if that CRM tool can interface with your PMS, then your old data you can get into your CRM tool, and then the new data coming into your PMS will fit into your CRM tool, and then over time they will start to synchronize.
That hopefully, yes. Yeah. So that could be an option if you're working with a CRM. Many hotels today do not work with CRMs, although it's fortunately growing. And you know, for marketing, this is essential in 2019. But you know, in case you don't work with a CRM, most likely you're going to start from scratch. And you're really your most loyal guests, you're going to probably manually adjust the profile to bring in some of the information that you want to keep for when these loyal frequent customers come back.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you know, as part of your contract with your existing vendor, if you have access to the data for a period of time, then you would work through that list and say, okay, well, of these 50 or so guests that are very loyal, stay with us regularly, we've built up a huge degree of information. You would invest the time to get all of that information, even if you had to do it manually, to get that manually inputted into the new system, because the value of that is far too great for a loyal customer like that to just lose it and say, we'll build it up over time.
Yeah, for the top customers, that absolutely is something that most likely you're going to do manually. It's something that really should happen during the configuration phase when you're building all your profiles. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if it's really loyal customers, then chances are that when you are entering the reservations into the new system, there's going to be a reservation for those people in there. So you're building their profile and record already during that pre-go-live phase.
Got you. Okay. Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? That shell building, configuration, and migration piece, you can see how they all kind of hang together and how it's so important each phase of that. So once you've got yourself through that challenge and you're up and running, you've flicked the switch, you've made the right choice, unlike the example you gave a moment ago, it is working okay, and you're not going to have to go through that exercise again in a couple of months. Is that it? Done and dusted? Sit back, cheer, pat yourself on the back, and let's rock and roll.
In most cases, that's what hotels are going to do. And that's where I suggest that they rethink that. Because, of course, once we have a running system, we're going to learn very quickly some things that work and some things that don't work as I had expected it before. Once you have a better understanding operationally, using the system every day, of something that maybe doesn't work, you will probably need to rethink that, modify your processes and all that. And what I really, really, really recommend, which I unfortunately don't see hardly as often as I would like, is to have a post-migration training. So a little while after we go live, let's say a couple of months after we go live, a half a year maybe, we have somebody from the vendor again come on site or remotely if possible and train us, watch us, observe us in our everyday and point out things that we don't do as best as they could be done. Mm-hmm. And that will allow us to, once we get used to the system and know a little bit the ins and outs, and adapt our processes, to have some expert come in and tell us this can be done in that way, and that may make things a lot easier. And this is how we can avoid forgetting some of the information we received during the training, mm-hmm. when in a maybe 2 weeks period of time, we learn everything that there is possibly to know about the system. And we all know from almost every software that in 2 weeks, you cannot learn a complicated software like that. Yeah. There are just too many things that you would need to remember. And a few things, and we spoke about simplicity, a few things hopefully you will be able to figure out on your own. But you know, the vendor being in contact with a lot of different hotels worldwide, oftentimes they see more or less creative uses of their system and can help hotels to improve their operations, their processes, and their procedures by pointing them in the right direction.
That makes sense. And I guess as well, you hear things at the beginning going through the sales process that you might forget about that are features within the solution. So you may have a running, or I wish it could do this list, that then if you do the post-migration training and you have, oh, I wish it could do this, that's the time where you can ask someone and they can maybe point you back to the feature, because you'd already evaluated that in your considerations. You knew it could do it, but you'd forgotten about it by the time it came to the training. And it's only by bringing it up again now that someone can say, oh, that feature's here. I guess also, as you say, you've then got the reminder or from your initial training to just sort of refine things a little bit better and improve them. And then the other value of having the post-migration training and them observing is just critiquing so that you almost don't get into bad habits. It's a bit like, I guess, if you're driving, we learn to drive in a particular style. And if someone was there just to kind of correct us and tweak us in those formative months when we're learning, then our whole way of driving and driving our PMS in this scenario would be much more efficient and much more productive.
Exactly. Yeah. No, it's a really good comparison to compare it to driving. That's exactly what we want to do in order to optimize our operation. A couple of days ago, I talked to a revenue manager at one of the hotels I work with, and he was unable to extract some data from the PMS for whatever reason. That part of the system had a bug and didn't allow him to do so. But there's another way to get the information out of the system. So I quickly showed him that. And he looked at me and said, why did nobody ever show me that? I wanted this for 8 years. Yeah. So, training and retraining from time to time, especially with the high turnovers that we have in our industry. Now we have a new system. Everybody working for our company received extensive pre-migration training, entered hundreds of reservations, knows all the ins and outs, and 2 years from now, they leave the company, and I have entirely new staff. They get passed over that information with potentially these bad habits, mm-hmm. From the stuff that they train them. So it may make a lot of sense every now and then, depending on your staff turnover, to get a trainer on site to explain to everyone again how things work and how it should be done, in order not to lose any of this very, very important information. And, you know, I understand that a lot of hotels are cost conscious and don't go down that route, but having a trainer come on site for a few days, or buying a new PMS because it doesn't do anymore what I wanted it to do, I think buying a PMS is far more expensive. And if you can delay buying a new system for a number of years because you're able to make better use out of your current system, then I think that goes really a long way.
That makes sense. So then we've done the post-migration training. Are we done? Is this our six episodes wrapped up?
Well, you know, with my revenue management background, I would do one last thing, and that is to evaluate how successful is the new system compared to the old one. So I would simply analyze my return on investment and how quickly do I get my return on investment. And, you know, factoring in all the new things that I can now do, being more efficient in my operations, maybe my reviews come up. Maybe I will be able to boost my ADR. Maybe I will be able to have more in-house reservations and not so many reservations with a third-party call center. Maybe I will have a more sophisticated rate architecture in place, will allow me to run more competitive offers and increase my business there. So I will be able to hopefully increase my revenue substantially. And so now I need to go back and say, well, how successful was this entire migration and how quickly do I receive my return on investment? Once I have done that, I think then it's pretty much done.
You're pretty much done. And that's you're right. But so many people, as you say, people don't do the post-migration training piece. Lots of people don't do the evaluation piece. You know, having gone through the time and effort that something like this seriously needs investment, not just money, but time. And if you invest the time and the thought process up front, the likelihood of making the best choice you can and it going as smoothly as possible is significantly increased. So having invested the time and the money, to then not close that loop back on yourself and say, this is what started it. These were the reasons we decided to make the change. These were the considerations that we had and what we wanted the system to do. Do we tick all of those boxes? Has it been a worthwhile exercise? Are we starting to see the return on investment? Will we see the payback over the time that we originally projected? By not doing that, it just seems daft. You know, that gives you the chance to, you know, no one else is going to pat you on the back for putting them through loads of training and changing the systems. Everyone's going to be cursing whoever made that decision. So you may as well give yourself the opportunity to give yourself the pat on the back that you did the right job and it was the right thing to do, because no one else is going to thank you for it during the whole implementation phase.
Yeah, no, a PMS migration is probably next to a hotel renovation, the biggest project that, you know, can run in a hotel, at least in many aspects. And I oftentimes compare it to a hotel renovation, because nobody would have the idea to start a hotel renovation project for next week and, you know, just wing it. No, you get everything organized way in advance, maybe a year or two out. Yeah. And of course, you will have to, because somebody will have to pay that bill, and that's probably going to be a big bill. And you know, for PMS migration, it's not unsimilar. It is going to be a very, very steep investment in many cases that needs to be really well prepared. And if it is well prepared, then it will be successful. I have seen that again and again. You know, the benefits that we have from such a project migrating to something that is more powerful, they always outweigh all the hassle that comes with it. Mm-hmm. And if we assign enough time to such a project, so if we go in a year in advance and start looking at the different options and vendors that we have, step by step follow a little bit the process that we outlined in this series, then I really think that it's not even going to be such a daunting project anymore, because you can break down everything really in little pieces, and over time it becomes manageable. And we all have full work days, and I completely understand that you know, in a hotel manager's day, there's just no space for anything else. You can't, the GM can't take on anything more, because if they could, they would already be doing that in the first place. And the same goes for everyone else. So having such a large project, and it is a really large project, on the back of the team, it really requires a lot of a lot of efforts on everyone's side. And so, yeah, my advice can only be to take enough time to get it prepared, and to you know, if there is nobody in-house to manage that project, which means that they need to hand over their core responsibility to somebody else for the duration of the project, so they can really focus on that. If you don't have somebody on site who can do that, then hire somebody to get that project done for you. Don't just wing it, because winging it is going to just be a disaster over time.
You really need a consultant who's sort of been through this and seen it and can share their experience and guide you along that way. If only there was someone like that, maybe that they could contact.
That would certainly be helpful. Yeah, that would certainly be helpful.
Christoph, as always, it's been a pleasure. We will be, just for all our listeners, we will be working with Christoph going forward in the future and coming up with some other ideas that we can get him on. But this completes the series now around the PMS, and hopefully the 6 episodes, when you listen to them, do hopefully provide a roadmap to make the process as easy as it can possibly be. Nothing like this, like a renovation, as you say, is going to be simple. But trying to at least signpost, roadmap some of the challenges and some of the things to consider will hopefully be of value, because it is such a critical piece to the hotel operation. It is the heartbeat, and with so much relying on data and the way that data can be utilized, the PMS is very much integral to that. So thank you again. It's been great having you with us on this journey. It's been great to hear your insights and your experience and how all of this is based on issues that you faced and challenges that you've gone through. So this isn't just theoretical. This is practical, and that's what's really important. So thanks again for your time, and it's been great to do this series with you. Thanks a lot, Christoph.
Thank you very much for having me, Trevor. It was a real pleasure, and I enjoyed very much sharing some of my experiences with all of you.
And if someone does want a good consultant to reach out to get some support, what's the best way for them to contact you?
You can always check me out on my website, christophhutter.com. You can Google it. You can find me on LinkedIn. And, you know, if you have some questions, just reach out. And I'm always happy to have a chat about our industry.
That's brilliant. Appreciate your time, Christoph. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Trevor.
So that's the end of today's podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. If you had any questions or future topic suggestions, please feel free to reach out via content@revenue-hub.com. Thank you all for listening. If you like what you heard, please subscribe, like, and tell your colleagues and friends. Catch you next time.